up in the sky! Look!
It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Matt Spectro through the multiverse!
Thanks for joining us for another exciting episode of Matt Spectro through the multiverse. It's Halloween time, tricks and treats, ghosts and goblins. It's a spooky time of year. And here at the multiverse, we spend the whole month of October celebrating Halloween. This is the podcast about comic books, about animation. Thanks for joining us to episode 109. I'm going to briefly explain the rules. Now we're going to get right into it. Rule number one, comic books, animation, Halloween. That's what we're talking about. I don't think I need to say anything else. Rule number two, I'm a big fan of the old team-up books. DC Comics Presents, Marvel Team-Up, Marvel 2-in-1. So this is a team-up podcast. Every week, me and a special guest talking animation. And rule number three, and most important, we got to have fun. Like I said, it's a Halloween episode. Thanks for joining us for episode 109. I'm going to bring my guest out. We're going to get right into it. I guess he's been here a couple of times. In fact, he was once here for a previous Halloween episode. Welcome back to the multiverse, the one and only James.
Hello, once again.
How are you?
Not bad. And you?
I'm well. Celebrating well. Just kicking it off, but we're celebrating Halloween. I don't know if you remember the first time you were ever on the show. Was a Halloween episode.
Not really, yeah. I've done a couple now, so they all kind of blur together a little here and there of like, what time did everything come out?
Yeah, we did Batman and Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah. The classic, that's not Abe Lincoln. He's wearing a turtleneck.
So, as always, we always start off Halloween. I think we talked about this before, and I want to see if your answer changed, but... Do you have a favorite horror film or horror film franchise?
Yeah, I'm a huge horror guy, so I've honestly seen a ton. My go-to probably is Friday the 13th. I think, honestly, that was the same thing last time. They're just really rewatchable to me. Huge Halloween guy as well, even though they have kind of more bad ones than most of the other ones, unfortunately.
All right, yeah, you actually, that's what you had said, Friday the 13th, which, on a whole, I'm a fan of that series, even though there have been some some weaker ones. But now it's been, 14 years since the last Friday the 13th movie came out?
Yeah, from what I know, unfortunately, like, a lot of the rights to the franchise are kind of all tied up with, like, different, like, the original writer and, like, the director and the studio all kind of trying to get control of the franchise. That's why there's a video game for a bit where you like played in Jason against people online, and that had to get shut down as a result of all that too.
So I think the way I understand it is Sean Cunningham owns the rights to the creator rights to the franchise. Paramount or someone controls the rights to the actual to distribute, but then the original writer of the first movie got some legal battle of the ownership because he created a lot of the initial stuff.
Yeah, so it's all kind of tied up between them. So it's unfortunately kind of put a pause on the entire franchise as a whole.
I mean, not that you can do a hell of a lot more than what you've already done at this point with that series.
We've got to upload Jason to a computer in the next one, obviously. That's the next step.
All right, so we decided we were going to talk some Halloween comic books, animation. Why don't you just share with everyone what you decided to go with this episode?
Honestly, just similar to what we've done in our previous Halloween one, actually. I went with a Batman one just because it's one of the comic book shows I know for sure have always had like kind of Halloween-related episodes there. And it's The Batman, the 2004-2005 show there that was a little different than Batman the Animated Series.
All right, so before we get to it, Since you've last been here, we've added an addition. Now we start every episode with a little bit of trivia. The first Halloween episode, our guests did get the answer correct. So let's see if we can make it a 1,000 for the month of October.
No pressure, I guess.
I was a little torn on this one. I think you're going to know the answer, but I found a trivia question that mixes Halloween and this Batman series, but not this particular episode.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. What horror icon lent his voice to the character of the Riddler on the Batman cartoon?
I actually do. Was it Robert Englund?
Ding, 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 ding. You are correct. Freddy Krueger himself.
I vaguely remember that, reading that once. It's wild, especially with, as I'm sure we may talk about, they do some wild redesigns of the characters, and their Riddler is very, very of its time, it feels like, sometimes.
We're going to discuss three things here. We're going to discuss Batman, we're going to discuss Halloween, and we're going to discuss the character that I'm kind of excited to talk about, haven't really talked about. We're talking about the character also of Solomon Grundy, the focus of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to go back to 2004. Animated series had been off the air for 3 or 4 years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And Batman created by Bob Kane and Bill Finger, if anyone knows. And then they came back with the Batman. It's been debated. I can't find a lot of stuff, but vastly, like you had mentioned earlier, different style and tone than Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah, from what I've also seen, I believe it was kind of on purpose, if they didn't want to just be constantly compared to the animated series, so they were very much trying to do their own thing with the art style and like some of their redesigns for characters and like pacing and action and stuff like that.
Despite what some people have said about this show, this actually ran longer than Batman the Animated Series, which a lot of people don't know. I've only seen a couple of episodes. I saw the Batman versus Dracula that they did.
A classic.
I've seen the first episode from when we did our my anniversary episode. We watched an episode of every Batman cartoon. So we watched that. So we'll get into a little bit of details. This ran originally on the Kids WB, but then later would switch to the Cartoon Network, developed by Michael Gogan and Dwayne Capizzi. Warner Brothers Animation and DC Animation. Believe it or not, this won 6 Daytime Emmys.
I did not know that. That's kind of remarkable, because I mainly remember the series like from scattered episodes, seeing it on TV. And I always thought it was like neat, but I also kind of always thought it kind of went downhill towards the end of its run. So maybe the Emmys were from the more earlier stuff.
You were fairly young when this was on. If I'm remembering your birthday, you were 10 or 11, I think, when this debuted.
Yeah. So I only really saw scattered episodes throughout, just like here and there whenever like I was watching TV or something.
Is this the Batman of your childhood, or is this just something you've enjoyed later on in life?
Probably more that latter one. I definitely saw it and knew it existed, but I was also really into Batman the Animated Series from like the Justice League cartoon. And then also, like, I was really into Batman Beyond, too, because that was like, I actually started understanding like what was going on in shows.
It ran for 5 seasons. People have said animation and style compares a lot to the Jackie Chan Adventures.
Mm-hmm.
I believe some people who worked on that jumped right from that to this cartoon.
Yeah, if I remember, is it Glenn Murakami? I believe was his name.
I believe that is correct.
Yeah, he was one of the main guys behind Jackie Chan Adventures, and like is like one of the like character designers and like one of the head art guys and producers of the show too for like the first 3 or 4 seasons, I believe.
So, we're not going to get as much in the history, because I've done so many Batman episodes at this point. I don't think I need to get into every detail of every different cartoon. Now, the interesting thing is the first episode, this is a younger Batman. I believe they established early on that he's been Batman for 3 years
mm-hmm.
at the point the show began, which is interesting, because that means that they do a lot of intro of villains. So that means Maybe there is some credence to the theory that he attracted the villains and they wouldn't have existed without him.
Honestly, I think they talk about that even in the show with, like, in the first couple episodes with, like, Joker. And as you're saying, like, people start showing up there as, because of, like, it's the early time of Batman. They have that classic bit of, like, how the cops are very anti-Batman. There's not even a Gordon in the first couple seasons of the show. So it's very much all about kind of them against Batman.
So, since he's the focus of this episode, I thought we'd have some fun. Talk about the character Solomon Grundy.
Born on a Monday.
Exactly. Now, Solomon Grundy first appeared way back in All-American Comics issue 61 back in 1944, created by Alfred Bester and Paul Renman. He's a character that not only has been around a while, he's had many incarnations, and he's kind of an underrated popular DC villain, I feel.
Yeah, I would agree. Especially because he's just been, I know a lot of the times comics have like always kind of reimagined older villains, but he feels like one who's kind of just been around continuous, like alongside a lot of people like the Joker and stuff, weirdly enough.
Now, the first comic I can remember, well, the first appearance I ever saw Solomon Grundy was the Super Friends cartoon.
Classic.
When he was Legion of Doom. And then the first comics I ever remember, All-Star Squadron is the first comic book I can remember reading. Solomon Grundy. He's been kind of consistent, just with some kind of bumps in the road where certain writers have brought in different things to the table.
Mm-hmm.
But he's always been kind of the zombie who came back to life. He's based on, you had referenced, the 19th century nursery rhyme of Solomon Grundy. In fact, that's his origin, because he doesn't know where he is, and they say, "Who are you?" And he says, "I don't know. I was born on Monday." And then someone says, like the old nursery rhyme. Now, the only thing that's been kind of up and down is his, number one, his powers. Sometimes how powerful he is seems to go with what character. And even though he first fought Green Lantern, the Golden Age Green Lantern, I don't think he's ever been firmly established as a particular arch nemesis for a particular character.
Yeah, it feels like, yeah, like the original Green Lantern there, Alan Scott, or like, honestly, now Batman, too, he's been used a ton in, has been kind of like the two main rogues galleries he's a part of.
Yeah, he's fought Swamp Thing a handful of times. Every now and again, they seem to try and make him a Superman villain just because he's so strong. He became a bank robber, I believe, from the 19th century. Cyrus Gold, who was killed and then came back in Slaughter Swamp outside of Gotham City, which... I discussed this on an earlier, my Super Friends episode. I always thought Gotham City having a swamp around it seemed very bizarre.
Yeah. I'm like, well, how on the outskirts is it? What are the city limits here?
Because that's where the Legion of Doom's like big floating head thing was, in the same swamp. And it just seemed preposterous as that was outside of Gotham City. Like most things, he went away when superheroes weren't in vogue anymore. And then in the 60s... they had brought back the JSA, so they were expanding, bringing back Golden Age characters. So then in Showcase issue 55, 1965, Gardner Fox and Murphy Anderson bring Solomon Grundy into the Silver Age of comics, where I believe he fought Dr. Fate and Hourman in that issue. And that is also, and correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, I believe is the first Silver Age appearance of Alan Scott, the Golden Age Green Lantern as well.
Oh, that's cool.
He sounded very Southern on the Super Friends. I don't know if you've seen any of the reruns.
I have seen some of it, and I do vaguely remember that, too.
And one thing that almost never changed is he's like Frankenstein. He always has the same sport coat with the with the matching pants. Even though in this cartoon we're about to watch, they actually went for a much, much different design.
Yeah, I was actually reading that supposedly they were partially inspired by... There's like, I was Shadow of the Bat. There was apparently a story arc with Grundy in that where he had like a much more emaciated appearance. So like that was kind of what they were drawing from, apparently.
Yeah, there's a Shadow of the Bat. I don't remember because they kind of like did the modernization of his origin. And I believe that's where this came from. He showed up in Arrow. He showed up in the Stargirl show.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the 70s Legends of the Superheroes comedy special. He's on the Justice League cartoon, so he's shown up in quite a lot of media. So there is, he's not quite broken into the zeitgeist, but he's still fairly popular as far as supervillains go.
I always remember his appearance in the Justice League Unlimited cartoon because they have a whole episode that's basically them forming a team that's like a parody of the Marvel's Defenders, and he's their Hulk stand-in. And it's just like, what a strange concept for an episode.
Well, it's because much like Hulk, he's always saying Solomon Grundy says and Solomon Grundy does this. So even though Hulk Smash is a little bit less of a mouthful than Solomon Grundy.
He's a much more proper name that he has to get through than just Hulk.
We're going to go back to August 27th, 2005, Grundy Night. Now, it is weird. This does take place on Halloween. It is distinctly a Halloween episode, but they aired it back in August.
Can't always control when your stuff airs, unfortunately.
One thing I've noticed about this one was he's much more zombie-looking in this than a lot of the other. Like, he is basically the Living Dead, but he looks a lot more like a zombie and not as much of a hulking figure in this one.
Yeah, like you said, yeah, he's way more like emaciated almost, a very, very kind of like tall and thin compared to like, yes, like the much more Hulk, like white skinned Hulk there and he's in the comics.
This was originally titled Halloween Clayface. So I can see why they changed it because we're going to get into it later, but we'll explain later why that was a smart move to change the name of the episode.
Yeah, just kind of giving it all away there.
Now, interesting, well, maybe not interesting, I always thought it was ridiculous, is when he first fought Alan Scott, Alan Scott's ring had no effect on him. The reason being is when he came back to life, his body, it was the chemicals in the swamp, but it also infused with the wood of the swamp. And since Alan Scott's ring doesn't work on wood, that's why it would not work on Solomon Grundy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember they later, probably like when you were talking about how he fought Swamp Thing later, they kind of used that to give him some sort of connection there to the green that the Swamp Thing has too.
And he's also a character that they've also tried to do the misunderstood villain who's kind of becomes a hero. They did it in Infinity Inc. They did it kind of in the Stargirl comic. They did it, I think, in the Justice League cartoon as well. Now, this episode was written by Sam Liu. No, I'm sorry, directed by Sam Liu and written by an Adam Beecher. This is the first, if they've done more, the first Halloween episode they did on the show.
Yeah, I think it's the only one as far as I know, too.
I mean, I count the Batman versus Dracula, but that's just the theme. We kind of had to turn that to a Halloween episode. Now, let's go over some voice talent. Batman, the Batman, Reno Romano does his voice. Now, he's done a lot of voice work. In fact, I just did an Ultra Force episode a couple of weeks ago, and he was the voice of Prototype.
Oh, I didn't know he was even in that show, too. That's wild.
He was actually the voice of Uncle Tony in the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah, I saw that one there.
He was on Extreme Ghostbusters. He's on Spider-Man Unlimited. Actually, I think he's the voice of Spider-Man on Spider-Man Unlimited. Appeared in the Men in Black cartoon. He's also the narrator on a majority of the Curious George cartoons as well.
quite a variety there, then.
Now, Solomon Grundy is voiced by Kevin Grivo. Doesn't have a lot of voice credits to his name, but he's also a comic writer. He's written plenty of comics, but he's the voice of Black Beetle on Young Justice.
Yeah, he's a great villain on that show there.
Now, I have not seen that. Is that like Blue Beetle's archenemy, or is that just not related?
Yeah, he's basically an evil Blue Beetle that's working for the bad guy aliens there of one of the seasons.
He's also the voice of the Super Skrull on Hulk Agents of Smash as well.
Hmm.
So not only is he a comic writer, he's also a voice actor as well.
Yeah, I also know he's pretty well known for starring in the Underworld movies I saw.
Oh, yeah, he is, actually. I did. that was a credit. I was going to bring that up, but I forgot. I think I got sidetracked with the voice acting, so it kind of escaped my mind.
And actually, I was going to talk about it because I thought it was real cool. Alongside his connection with comics there, he's also the creator of like Blue Marvel, who I know has become a bigger Marvel character recently with like joining the Luke Cage version of one of the Avengers teams and stuff.
I have not read that, but yes, you are correct. He's a comic writer. He's the creator of Blue Marvel. Now, speaking of Underworld, you know, I stopped after part three. I haven't seen four or five.
From my understanding, you don't really ever need to. I've also only seen the first three.
Three was just so bad that I was like, I think I'm done with this series. Clayface does appear in the episode. Steve Harris does the voice of him. This guy doesn't do a lot of voice acting. It's always weird to me when I find people that they're like regular actors and they did voice work for like one thing.
Sometimes, yeah, just work comes to you, I guess.
Like, he's Eugene Young on the show The Practice, which I don't think I've ever seen.
Not familiar either.
And Charles McCarter in the movie Diary of a Mad Black Woman. Is that Tyler Perry or is...
I'm not sure either. I don't want to say. Take a guess.
And then finally we get good old Alfred, who pretty much has appeared in every Batman cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Alistair Duncan did his voice. Now, this guy, I couldn't find a lot. He'd done a ton of video game voicing.
Oh, cool.
But I didn't find a lot of cartoons. He's the Vulture on the 2017 Spider-Man cartoon. But other than that, I couldn't find a lot of cartoon voice credits, just a lot of video games.
Unfortunately, if I remember, the just Spider-Man cartoon isn't really kind of well-regarded, unfortunately.
I always get, I've done episodes and all, and I always get Unlimited, Ultimate, Spectacular, Regular Spider-Man. I always get them confused which one is which. Alfred, while we're on the subject, I don't know how up-to-date you are in current comics, but when are they going to bring him back to life already?
Yeah, I don't know either. As far as I knew, yeah, it's just been a couple of years and everything now, too, which is surprising.
Yeah, like he got killed by Bane a couple of years ago, and he gets referenced all the time in Nightwing because he left Nightwing his money, because apparently Alfred was a billionaire as well. And so I keep thinking, oh, they're going to bring him back, but it's like their Spider-Man Mary Jane thing of DC, where they're just so stubborn that everybody wants it, but they're just not going to do it. And normally I'm an advocate for more people need to stay dead, but I don't know if Alfred is one of those people.
Mm.
On that note, get your costumes on, get your jack-o'-lanterns ready. James and I, we're going to go and watch The Batman Grundy Night. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Let's play.
Wait for me!
Still a classic!
Don't miss the Night with the Batman.
Today at 11:30 on the CW for Kids.
Solomon Grundy, born on Monday, christened on Tuesday, married on Wednesday, tookle on Thursday, rose on Friday, died on Saturday, buried on Sunday. This is the end of Solomon Grundy. Solomon Grundy, born on Monday, christened on Tuesday, married on Wednesday, tookle on Thursday, rose on Friday, died on Saturday, buried on Sunday. This is the end of Solomon Grundy.
On the next Action Flicks, The Dark Knight. The Prince of Darkness. Can Gotham City handle more than one creature of the night?
This time I'm out for blood. So the folk tales are true. There is another bat in Gotham.
Action Flicks presents The Batman vs. Dracula. Tonight at 9. Only on Cartoon Network.
Meanwhile, at the Podcast of Justice...
back. We just watched Batman Halloween Special Grundy Night. Now, before we get into the episode itself, that theme song, I like that it's like kind of noir, eerie, different.
With all the bats and everything, yeah, and yes. All the moody depictions of the city and stuff.
But having said that, they really, and I don't know if it's every episode or this one, they really go back to that theme song a lot during the episode. Every pause, every time they're trying to create a mood, bam, they hit that music again.
Listen, when you struck gold, you might as well just keep going. Honestly, I love the theme song. It changes after a while, and it's literally just because of the ending when they just go, oh, Batman! Where it just is like, you did not need to do this, but thank you.
So we open with these trick-or-treaters, and one's a pirate. I think the other one is an alien, but for some reason he's wearing a plunger on his head.
A classic alien look.
What was happening there?
Listen, sometimes you have to throw a costume together last minute. You just go with what you have.
All I can think of is that old Simpsons episode where he goes to his high school reunion in the future, and the principal's like, Simpson, is that a plunger on your head? So, of course, they go to this ridiculous mansion, Victorian England-looking place in the middle of Gotham where these weird evil sisters, well, they're not really evil, but they look like they would be. They look like the women you'd see the paintings of if you went into a haunted house in a movie.
I just thought they were two evil stepmothers hanging out.
And of course, they set the pace of this episode. They tell them a story about how it's Grundy night. And 150 years ago, on this very day, he arose from the swamp. And he's going to rise again because it's a lunar eclipse and attack the descendants of his victims. So we kind of get the accurate origin, modified a little bit, but close.
Yeah, especially with, because it being such a kid's cartoon, and I assume, like, the time, of course, it's, like, coming out, too, of just, like, they don't want to talk about, like, the town might have killed a guy and thrown him in the swamp, or he got murdered some other way, or stuff like that on a kid's show.
So, of course, they scare him off running, and they're all proud of themselves. And you do find out that they're descendants of the people that Grundy swore revenge on. And he does show up wreaking havoc, and he yells, destroy.
Yeah, that's one of my complaints, honestly, about the Grundy here is also just how I'm fine with them not doing the rhyming thing that he sometimes has where he just speaks the poem sometimes, but he's not a really like interesting speaker there in any way. He's just constantly just being like, destroy.
And then they go right to the credits that you and I were discussing, which the credits kind of work. It could work as a Halloween with the bats and all, and it could work just on its own as well. And when we come back, Alfred's there dressed as Sherlock Holmes
because he's British.
Of course. What do you think of the Wayne Manor in this? It's more of like a, well, I wouldn't say it's a skyscraper, but it's more like straight up instead of like sprawled out.
Yeah, it's like weirdly just too tall, where it's just like, this is like not a normal house, but it's not like a full huge building either. It's like six floors or whatever.
We get some trick-or-treaters where they're Joker, Penguin, and Catwoman. Oh, and their dad, their chaperone, doesn't he have a Grundy mask on?
Yeah.
Now, it's, I get it, but if you look at the context of this, the Joker's like a mass murderer.
Yeah, you don't want your kids dressing up as like, yeah, murderers and terrorists for Halloween or something. Come on.
That'd be like a little kid dressing as like Jeffrey Dahmer or something. Like, it just is weird in the when you really think about it.
Especially because those are like, they're active and everything right now. Like, Joker breaks out of Arkham every other week.
So it's a little odd. Later on, Bruce says some comment about how it's funner to dress as the bad guys. And then you find out, by the way, Alfred totally buys into Grundy Night. Like, he's the legend, everything. Alfred's 100% on the up and up on that.
And also, well, depending on when the movie is supposed to take place, maybe they've already met Dracula at this point. So maybe Alfred's just like, listen, if that's real.
That is true. If they've met Dracula, then it's not that preposterous. Do other superheroes show up in this cartoon ever?
Yeah, eventually Batgirl and Robin show up in the like season 2 and season 3. And then towards the end, they actually had like the Justice League start to come together and form and everything like that.
All right, I know like some of the villains he faces have superpowers, so I guess Grundy's not completely out of the realm that it could happen.
No. Plus, if I remember from when I was pulling up the episode, like a couple, like three episodes before this, like Mr. Freeze is the main villain. So
it's definitely plausible. By the way, I like how this Batman's a lot less brooding than Kevin Conroy, I've noticed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's supposed to kind of go along with him being a more younger Batman of just, he's not as kind of like brooding or, yeah, like stoic or withdrawn. He's much more like kind of cheerful and quippy, especially with Alfred and stuff.
He has to go out and he even makes a comment about, what would Halloween be if I didn't wear my costume? And he shows up. They go back to the old ladies from the beginning. Their house is completely trashed. And this part actually made me laugh when Batman shows up and they're like, oh my God, it's a vampire.
Again, maybe Dracula has happened. There were vampires swarming Gotham.
Yeah, vampires literally took over Gotham in that episode. So I guess it's not preposterous. He does end up fighting Grundy. But he's more... Grundy is... He's not quite as hulking, so Batman, even though he gets his butt kicked, he does put up more of a fight. Wait, this is at a new house. I think I skipped over that there's another rich guy that Grundy's trashing his house, and that's where they get into the fight. After he gets beat up, he gets saved by three other kids come to see him, and they are all impressed, and it's actually, this time it's a ghost, a fairy, and then third one's Batman, but he's more like the Adam West Batman version.
Couldn't get a copy of the actual costume. Had to go with what he could.
Now, again, at this point, Batman is like, he's technically a criminal, I would think, in the eyes of the police at this point. He's a vigilante, like taking justice into his own hands.
Yeah, but if I was a kid in Gotham and I was seeing this guy swing around, like beat up supervillains, I would think he was cool.
Well, yes, I'm sure. But with the parents, they get the costume.
I mean, if some of them are buying Joker outfits.
Yeah, I guess anything goes. So he's going to do more investigation. He gets a little snippy with Alfred when he's like, he doesn't want to hear any more legends. Mm. But Alfred, he tells the whole origin of how when Gotham was founded, the Slaughter Swamp was more of a lake. But some of the upper echelon, they were dumping chemicals and waste into the thing, turning it into a swamp. But then... some of the people from the old world that are settling here, they use old world magic to raise Grundy from the dead and get revenge on these guys who are polluting the world.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of neat of kind of turning it, instead of like him being like a zombie, he's almost kind of like a golem sort of creature instead in this version of like, he's just created from the swamp itself, not like from a body or a corpse or anything like that.
Yeah, so we don't even know if it's Cyrus Gold or not. So.
Mm-hmm.
I like how it's like very vague. It's just the old world, you know. It's they don't even say. So you just have to assume all European countries back in the day had magic.
I thought it was actually honestly a little deep for a kid's show, but I was just like, are you telling me these immigrant workers came over here in the like 1800s and were then exploited by rich robber barons? That's crazy. That would never happen.
So then Batman goes to the wax museum because that's where the other descendant, he owns the wax museum and they do all their best business on Halloween night.
And just kind of, I know we like glossed over it a little, but I do want to point out, I did think it was neat how the show does show like Batman doing detective work too still, which I always, sometimes in some adaptations can be a criticism of, well, it's the world's greatest detective, but he doesn't really do anything. There's all the setup of like finding footprints and like analyzing everything and trying to put stuff together there, because Batman does not believe this is a real zombie.
No, because after he has that fight, there was this substance on his, in the footprints and on him that he wasn't sure what it was, so he was analyzing it to get to the bottom of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody kind of he does have this great confrontation with a guy where the guy thinks he's just a regular dude wearing Batman's costume for Halloween. But that guy vanished kind of quick, making Batman kind of suspicious.
And if I remember, I don't know if it's supposed to be the same person or they just like reuse the animation, but I think it's also the dad from the beginning. So he's just wearing a different outfit, possibly.
If it's not him, it looks an awful lot like him. So then he gets the call from Alfred and he finds the DNA detected. It wasn't actually human DNA. It was actually mud. And we find out that Grundy, who shows up, is actually Clayface.
And a pretty cool reveal, too, when, like, Batman, like, digs his hand into the face and just, like, tears part of it away.
So the whole thing was a pretty clever scheme, actually, where he was going to use the old legend to attack those rich people, get the money, but nobody would suspect it's him. And then he would just disappear and none be the wiser.
Which, actually, now I can bring up a point of contention I have with this episode, then, which is honestly similar to what the animated series did with Clayface. And Clayface in this show was also always kind of like a tragic character, where he was an established character as like one of Batman's friends, basically, as like Bruce Wayne, who then eventually gets turned into Clayface by the Joker in this version. So he's always been this kind of like tragic villain for the most part in his previous appearances. And here he's just robbing people.
That's what's weird about the character. There's like four different versions of Clayface in the comic book, but this seems to be always the one that gets used the most. Because he's used, I believe, in the Batman Filmation cartoon from the 70s. He's used in Batman the Animated Series, as you just referenced, and he's used in this. But I don't think any of the other versions ever get used in any of the cartoons.
Well, actually, in this one, he's an original character for the show. It's not like Matt Hagen or anything like that.
So he's like a fifth Clayface.
Yeah. They made a character. Well, it's supposed to be kind of a twist as a result of that, of like when they're setting up Clayface. It's like, ooh, who's it going to be? And then it's this new guy.
Now, obviously, I can understand why they wouldn't do the third Clayface, because pretty much he can burn people alive by touching them. So,
you don't think Cartoon Network wants to show that?
Probably not. I honestly don't know. I think in the comics they've gone back to the Matt Hagen version is the main Clayface, but I don't read all the Batman titles now, so I'm really not sure.
Well, I believe since like New 52, they've kind of did what Batman the Animated Series did and merged like Matt Hagen and Basil Carlo there together.
That makes sense.
Mixing their backstories and stuff together as like, this is our version now.
I wonder then if the female Clayface even exists anymore.
Who knows? With New 52 and then Rebirth and now Infinite Frontier and everything, there's...
Because Matt Hagen, he actually died during Crisis on Infinite Earths. Mm-hmm. They killed him. And that's why they brought the female Clayface into the mix. But at this point, I don't know if anybody who died in Crisis hasn't come back to life. I mean, Clayface did, and the Crime Syndicate got brought back to life. Barry Allen got brought back to life. Supergirl got brought back to life.
Well, how many like different versions of the multiverse there are now? This all probably exists somewhere.
Granted, a lot of them they didn't come back to life. They're different versions, because like Huntress didn't come back to life. They gave us a new version of Huntress.
Mm.
I think they even brought Bug-Eyed Bandit back to life at one point. Whatever reason.
Hey, we were all clamoring for it. Come on.
Immortal Man, though, kept him dead. So in the fight, you know, get the big reveal. He gets away and sneaks into the wax museum. So Batman's like, you know, this is the worst place that he could be, because he could look like anything.
Is the great line of a shapeshifter at a wax museum. Great. It's just like his delivery of that is so good.
Now, as Batman's walking and looking at it, I swear, Eddie from Iron Maiden is in this wax museum. The version from the album Power Slave, I swear to God, was in the background.
I wouldn't be surprised. It seems like a prime opportunity to slip references. You got to fill up so many spots of the museum and such.
But we find out he was actually disguised as one of the Martians. Kind of looked like a less corny version of Mars Attacks. Which they get into a big fight. At one point, he gets his leg, well, he didn't get it chopped off, but it's frozen. Batman uses some of his utilities.
Which I guess they were just like, listen, he's just a blob of gray clay. We can just mutilate him if we want.
But to track him down, Batman releases the leg, and it's kind of like sentient almost, and it's going to go back to the rest of him. And a weird bit where he falls into a safe. And he'd actually disguised himself as the safe door. But I'm wondering, why did he just get, just go away? Like, why is he even, he doesn't seem to be in it for revenge. He seems to be in it for money, so.
Yeah. Just like, get the money and leave. It's like,
yeah.
And the time it took Batman to unfreeze the leg, follow it and everything.
It seems like could have just slipped through the window as Clay and gotten away. And instead, of course, in typical fashion, they get into a fight where this giant vat of hot wax is operating after closing hours for no particular reason. I'm assuming one of them turned it on.
I don't remember. I think it's happen. Just on. I think it's like you're saying. I'm just like, I guess it's just on after hours.
And he tries to dump Batman into it, but Batman, you know, he turns the tables and he dumps hot wax all over Clayface, trapping him in clay. Which, he's also one of those characters that, like, he's like Absorbing Man and a lot of these other characters where I don't know how they ever keep these guys from escaping. You'd have to put them, I guess, in an airtight room without a single crack that they could get out of. So, but he saves the day. He goes back, sees Alfred. Alfred delivers some candy to him. And he doesn't really make fun of Alfred, but he comments on pretty much it's not Grundy night after all. But we go to the swamp. And our two characters, the alien with the plunger on his head and the pirate, are throwing rocks into the swamp. They're looking for Grundy, but nothing's going to happen. They're going to just... It's just a story after all.
But then...
But then you hear a giant monster yell and they run terrified. And it kind of ends with where you don't see the monster, but you hear some yelling, implying that maybe Grundy is real after all.
Yeah, very classic, like, Halloween episode ending.
Do they bring Grundy into the mix?
Let me tell you, they do not. This is his only appearance in the show, and it's just the fake Clayface version.
Well, having watched it, I'm glad they didn't call it Halloween Clayface, because that really would just bury the lead.
Yeah, it kind of set us up as a whole twist there and everything, and that's just like, what if we just explain the mystery immediately?
There you have it, the Batman Grundy Night. We're gonna rank in a minute, but I'd say as far as you can say about the quality of the show or comparing it to other Batmans, I think it works really good as a Halloween episode.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, you have plenty of trick or treaters, guys in costumes. You get the classic, you know, a character dressed up, Alfred as Sherlock Holmes. Lots of kids. You know what I did like about this is I was talking to my wife about this the other day with a lot of TV shows. When there's a Halloween episode, everyone has like a top-notch, great costume that they got from like a movie set almost.
Listen, Gotham goes hardcore for Halloween, apparently.
This one I was like a little refreshing. The kids had decent costumes, but they weren't like knock your socks off. Like, you couldn't believe anybody could wear these costumes. I mean, the ghost was just a sheet. Grundy, I'm kind of torn on, you know, because... I grew up with, and I'm so used to the giant, real big Grundy. And the more zombie-looking Grundy, I'm not sure how I feel about
it. Yeah, I think it definitely is a departure from his normal depiction, but honestly, that's just in line with this show, with, like, even how they do, like, Joker and Penguin and Riddler. They wanted to just make it different as much as they can to kind of give it their own unique spin with the animation style.
Now, if they brought him back, it could have worked out really interesting, where Grundy could have had a completely different look, and it was just what Clayface perceived he looked like.
Yeah, but I remember, and apparently, like, that's just what Gotham thinks he is, because he was in the wax museum too as a statue.
Oh yeah, and doesn't he look exactly? He looks exactly the same. That was bizarre. We're gonna do the ranking, and then we're gonna dive deep. So right now, first we're gonna do our spectrometer. Anyone new to the show, spectrometer, we rank what we just saw. 0 being garbage, 4 spectros being just about as good as it's gonna get. What do you think, James? How are you gonna rank the Batman Grundy Night?
Well, I always have to ask this, because no matter how many episodes I'm on or how many episodes I listen to, I forget, does this do half stars?
Yeah, I've had people do halves, quarters, decimal points, however you want to do it.
And out of 5, correct?
Yeah, 4.
Out of 4. Oh, no, I got to completely readjust everything. That just negates my first one. I will do 2 then. I think it's, like you said, it really has a lot of good Halloween feel to it and a lot of the atmosphere. I like the Batman show. I think it has a lot of fun. My gripes are mainly, like, I was just kind of complaining its placement with the show. doesn't really fit with a lot of the story stuff you've been doing with Clayface. And then, honestly, like, a lot of, I think, the main flaw of the Batman is just, it feels real quick sometimes, of just, like, everything gets wrapped up real fast because we only got 22 minutes there.
All right. I think I'm going to go 2 as well. It's pretty good. I didn't dislike it. I don't have as many episodes to compare. I've only seen a couple.
Mm-hmm.
It works as a Halloween episode. Fun stuff.
Yeah, completely adequate.
But as always, what did you think out there? Did you like it more than we did? Did you like it less? Were you scared more than we were? Did it give you the chills? Let us know. If you liked it more or less, it's all right. You don't always have to agree. We're just two guys talking comic books, talking animation, talking Halloween. Well, James, I want to thank you for joining us and talking Halloween and talking Batman. Big plans for the holiday season?
Nothing crazy. I just always do a tradition where I try to watch Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein and Halloween on Halloween. That's about it right now.
I try and do a different something Halloween related every single day in the month of October.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a horror movie. Sometimes it's just a Halloween episode of a sitcom. Day one, I did the movie Let the Right One In.
Mm, a classic.
Which I had never seen before. Which I highly recommend. I thought it was excellent.
I love the pool scene in that movie. It's one of the, I think it's so good.
Such a good movie. I enjoyed it a lot. Don't want to say too much. Spoiler. The only complaint I would have about it, pacing's a little slow. So if you're not someone who, if you object to slow builds or anything, you might not like it. Or if you don't like subtitles. But other than that, that was a good movie. But I have plans for, you know, Beetlejuice, Halloween, Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. I'm going to try and introduce my stepson to The Lost Boys. He's never seen it before. I'd like to try and do a bunch of the Halloween movies, but every year I say I'm going to do a marathon, then I start, and then I get... I don't get that far.
And you watch one, and you're like, all right, good.
What do you think is the worst Halloween in the franchise? Now, even if I know you don't think it's 3, but I'm going to say the worst Michael Myers, even if you thought 3 was the worst.
Well, yes, I am a huge defender of 3. I will forever say Halloween 3 is great. People just don't like it because it's not Michael Myers.
I don't think 3 is the worst. I don't think 3 is a good movie, but it's so batshit crazy to me that I actually find it entertaining. I wouldn't call it a good movie, but it's definitely, I don't even think it's the worst in the series, regardless if Michael was in it or not.
My actual least favorite is probably Resurrection. I actually rewatched the entire franchise of Halloween, basically. Almost done, actually. I just have the trilogy for the new series there. And Resurrection, by far, that movie's very bad.
Is that the one with Busta Rhymes?
It is. It does have a great part where Busta Rhymes kicks down a door and has like a karate fight with Michael Myers. But I'm just like, this is not what I want from Halloween.
Thing about that one is I saw that in a theater, and the theater was, it wasn't sold out, but it was pretty crowded. And like everything was getting a reaction and the jump scares and all that. So I was like, man, that was pretty good. Then I watched it again on DVD without an audience. And Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You talk about an audience carrying a movie to make it seem better than it was.
It's definitely a movie that's like fun to watch and rag on with like people, but it's not like good.
It's that one, the second Rob Zombie Halloween, and Halloween Ends are really low to me. But I think you might have nailed it. I think Halloween Resurrection is pretty bad. Halloween 6, I think, is pretty awful just for uninspired and just really nothing memorable about it.
It's kind of a mess also of just how there's like 2 or 3 different versions of what people wanted, and neither of them are like really good. But just like all of, we got to explain Michael Myers, we got to all the cult of the thorn.
And they had to explain that, yeah, the whole subplot with the man in black from part 5, even though it was like 3 years apart.
And this is a fun trivia fact I know about that is they didn't have a plan, which is probably why it took 3 years. They literally just put it at the end of like, that was like in the contract for making 5, was it has to end on a cliffhanger somehow.
I watched a documentary on the series, and the guy who played Michael Myers and played the Man in Black said he had no idea who the Man in Black was.
Yep. They were literally just like, it has to end on a cliffhanger. So they were just like, all right, this happens. And they're like, all right, we'll figure it out later.
How many times has it been rebooted at this point?
I mean, if we just count the others, like 1 through 6, however you want to count it, as a continuous one, and there's been like 3.
They did the first 6, then they rebooted it. Well, 7.
H2O and Resurrection there.
What's weird, because it goes 1 to 6 like they all happen. Then 7 comes out, and it's like 1, 2, and 7 happened.
Yeah.
Then Resurrection, so it's 1, 2, 7, and 8. Then the Rob Zombie remake, and they start all over again.
Yep, and then we get the David Gordon Green trilogy, which is just part one.
Yeah. Halloween Ends, I could have forgiven it, but I just couldn't get past, in the previous movie, Michael Myers took on 11 firefighters at once. And then in the next movie, he can't beat a 70-year-old lady.
I just got reminded of the funniest scene in that movie to me, which is just, I guess it's the spoiler for people if you haven't seen it by now, of just Michael Myers getting absolutely bodied in the sewer by like an 18-year-old kid. It's just so funny.
Well, we got sidetracked, but you know, we're on the subject of Halloween, I go all over that. Yeah. But I want to thank you for joining us.
Of course.
And hopefully you'll come back again.
Always happy to. I love comics. I love animation.
I want to thank everyone for joining us. If you have any comments, if you didn't like the episode, didn't like our review, thought we were too kind or not too hard, go to my social media and let me know. You can find me at Matt Spectro and follow me while you're there. On Facebook, you can find me at Matt Spectro Through the Multiverse and give me a follow. Also, if you could subscribe to my podcast, give it a 5-star ranking, share it. I really appreciate it as well. And if you're a listener who might be interested in appearing on an episode, hit me up on social media. I'll be glad to have. I have people from all walks of life. Always happy to have a guest on the show. James, I usually do free plug time, but to my knowledge, you don't have a YouTube channel or a comic in the works or anything, but I could be wrong.
No, I'll just do my usual. Follow me on social media if you want, or you don't have to. Really just Jamer on basically everything. I'm sometimes funny, most of the time just cringe. If you want to check out my friend's band, The Town Criers, on all streaming platforms, they had a new album come out a couple months ago. That's really good. I think it's their best yet, so check that out.
All right, and on that note, we're going to wrap things up. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. And stay tuned, because the whole month of October, we're going to continue to celebrate Halloween. We'll see you again next week, everybody.
Excelsior!